Hello, and welcome to the Ice World podcast. I'm marine biologist Nadia Frontier, here with another conversation recorded whilst I was working in Antarctica with the British Antarctic Survey. Every role is vital when living and working in the Antarctic, and keeping the research station's machinery running is one of them. From ongoing maintenance and winter preparation to driving and operating some seriously heavy-duty vehicles. You may also remember Neil from Series 2 of the Ice World podcast, because we sailed down on the James Clark Ross together and then wintered at Rothera from 2020 to 2021. And this is when I interviewed him. He was one of the plant operators at Rothera. I spoke to him about what he enjoys, and particularly comparing the difference between where he grew up on the Isle of Arran and then this remote research station in Antarctica. We also cover some of the highlights during his time.
Hello, my name is Neil McLeod. I'm from Glasgow, here to operate equipment in Antarctica. And I've been doing it for a couple of years now. Quite flawless at work, quite a perfectionist, and still enjoying it.
And what's your background? Can you give me a bit of an introduction into how you became interested in operating machinery and how long have you been doing this for?
My dad had his own construction company when I was really young, and stopped that when I was still in primary, but I still ended up driving machines there, just like how we shot some of them in the yard and stuff. But then I went into agriculture, done various amount of work there, and quarrying, construction, civil engineering, worked on wind farms and hydro systems. Very diverse work.
Quite a broad repertoire, considering that we're the same age, you're only 24. So that's actually quite a good working experience. And so what was it that actually sparked your interest to come to Antarctica? And why were you attracted to move in from Scotland to the most remote place in the world?
I feel like I want to do more for the environment, in all honesty. The line of work I do is not exactly, if you're working a quarry, you're not exactly helping anyone apart from a local builder. But to also see what different environments, work in extreme conditions.
Yeah, like change your perspective a bit. Do you think that being here has changed your perspective?
Oh yeah, definitely. I worked with a lot of people that I never thought I would work with in my line of work. Like yourself, for instance, a marine biologist and a plant operator with a forecast or meteorologist with a doctor sitting at the table having lunch together on their break. It's a bit of a unique scene.
Yeah, it's like all these different worlds that mesh together in such a unique environment. That's definitely something that attracted me to the job. Did you have any apprehensions about accepting this 18-month contract?
I never really had any tie-downs. I rented a place that I stayed at, but I did have a dog that, I'm fortunate enough, my parents can look after. That means he stays basically on a farm, so he's pretty free, and I know he's well looked after. He's well fed anyway. I can see the pictures. Never really had much to tie me down from coming here.
Okay, that's good. And no apprehensions about being so far away from home or living in a community of only 23 people in the winter, for example?
A wee bit, definitely, because I know that you're kind of stuck with the people here. But I like the people here. I knew that I kind of had to be easygoing with people. You have to appreciate people's needs or appreciate how people are, where they're from, and how they do things. Got to be open-minded. I've kind of naturally got that anyway.
Yeah, I think you definitely achieved that well. So can you explain to me what your job as a plant operator involves here, and like what are your roles and responsibilities on the station?
The main one is snow clearing. Right now during winter, I'm more in the maintenance part of things, as in I've got a couple of jobs to refurbish tools and equipment and machines that are going to be used heavily in the summer. When they're quiet just now, it's best to get it done. Any sort of construction work that involves any operating, but mainly snow clearing, doing the runway for the planes to land, maintaining the runway, maintaining roads in general. And you get the nice job once in a while. You get to drive a bit of equipment with people in it to a likes of a mountain or where we ski as a bit of recreation. So it really quite rewarding when you get to those jobs.
That's driving the Snowcat, and the Snowcat is quite an old piece of machinery.
Yeah, it's a bit of an antique, bit of vintage. Then it means you appreciate those things because it's lasted so long here due to the environment. It's not really there's not much salt in the air here. Very clean air, and even though it could be driving on stones sometimes, but it's unique.
Yeah, it's very, very dry air because we are right next to the sea and our whole island is basically surrounded by the ocean. But it is true, if I was to leave a bike outside, it wouldn't rust like it would in a seaside town in the UK, for example. And what's your favourite machinery to drive? And do you get to use any vehicles that you weren't able to use in the UK at all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Snowcat's a big one. It's pretty cool. It's basically a monster truck with tracks. Like the Nordwell, operating cranes. I've never really done that before here. I went on the course when I came to this company. Don't know, the new loading shovel, the big Volvo, it's quite a beast. That's probably my favourite one.
So that's a new skill, yeah. Then, learning how to operate cranes. And just for the listeners, what is a Nordwell?
A Nordwell is pretty much the Medin team's bit of equipment that they use. You can tell they love it as much as we do. It is a key part to the marine operations. Yeah, it's an old girl as well.
So it's got a cab and then it's got a crane on it and it's got these big rollers that allow, it's like a mobile crane, which is quite rare.
Yeah, it's very rare. And it's key to the station to get to where it needs to do any lifting operations. We can use it for antennas, work on buildings, boating operations, what it's mainly there for.
What aspects of your job do you enjoy the most?
I like helping people in a way that I like doing snow clearing so that it makes their life a bit easier. It's a bit rewarding that way. I like the refurbishing side of things. What I've been doing down here, refurbishing old bits of equipment and making them look good again. It's rewarding in that sense as well. I do enjoy my job.
That's a massive reason as to why you're here. Also, you get to work in such a beautiful location with really inspiring scenery. And what are the greatest challenges that you've encountered so far and how have you overcome these?
The environment's pretty different here in a way that never really worked in areas so cold as it is here. Now on we're dealing with nearly minus 20.
Yeah, minus 20 all week.
Yes, it's the first time I've ever experienced that. And being so remote, so I kind of grew up and lived in, you know, cities and I'm used to a lot of people being around me, a lot of noise, and then quite busy place to then come here. It's very different, but I do like it. It's very rewarding to see this sort of scenery and to be able to have the opportunities that we have.
Do you find that with these cold temperatures, you have to operate the machinery in a different way than you would back home?
It's mainly the warming up time. We have special bits of equipment on the machines called a Webasto that we turn on first thing to preheat the engine block, basically preheat the whole machine and make the liquids not as thick as they can't be for operation. Then letting the machine warm up so when you operate it's not too cold and nothing's going to crack due to the coldness or...
Yeah, like the pipes are all warm and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just makes everything so much easier. It definitely increased the lifespan of the equipment we've got here.
In the morning, before you even have breakfast, I see you guys from the garage always turning on the machines, in the summer at least.
Yeah, just we've got to always sort of plan ahead and know what's coming.
And you were talking about home and Glasgow, so how do you maintain contact and keep this Scottish heritage of yours alive?
We're contacting back home. We're quite fortunate in the wintertime we've kind of got open access to the internet. We can use our phones to, you know, message people on social media and WhatsApp's quite popular here. We can use that to communicate and, you know, even send pictures back home and of what we're doing, what the environment is here like, and, you know, the sunrise is quite a popular thing to get sent around.
It's really nice to be able to share what we have here back home so easily, actually.
Keeping the Scottish heritage alive here is quite easily to do because they already are like Scottish people down here, like the station leader, the new dive officer, electrician, etc. A few people here already.
Yeah, I think Scottish people make up about a third of the station actually in the winter.
A lot of the people here like to do the accent, so it's quite nice to hear.
And some Scottish traditions, let's not forget Burns Night. That was a really great event.
That was successful.
That I think introduced a lot of people to Scottish culture. And just me being here as well, as an English person, I actually appreciate it so much more. And the Ceilidh, like a typical Scottish dance was super cool. Iron Brew, I'm not so keen on, but what's great is to see you guys in kilts, especially when we have important celebrations like the Midwinters or Christmas Day. It's really nice to see you guys in your like cultural clothes. I think it just brings an element of difference to the station.
Yeah, it's quite nice to bring that down and to wear that. It's not as cold as you wear a kilt, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've got to do it traditionally. We can't, traditionally, there's no underwear involved, so it's still not even that cold. Maybe yeah. You just got to bear it. You feel a wee bit braver when you've got the kilt on.
Even walking from the accommodation block to the main house in your kilt, it's okay, even in minus 20.
You just need to watch the wind and you end up flashing someone, but you know, you're all right.
Definitely important. And how have you found living with such a small number of people during the winter? Are you craving an influx of new people?
I like the people that are here and we've got used to each other and we know what we like and how we like and how people are, like their personality and hobbies and any sort of interest they've got. We've really got to know each other very well. In the way of new people coming down, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This has been our home for quite a long time now and you really hope for people to come down and treat it the way how we treat it now.
Yeah, like you've started to feel really sentimental towards it. I've definitely started to get that feeling. And I think sharing it with other people can be quite strange, just having people having slightly different habits or just not knowing how it runs. It's actually crazy how adapted and like acclimatized you can get to a place.
It might freak a few people out, but I think it might be all right.
Yeah, it would be something to contend with for sure. Have you ever lived in a small community before, or is this quite a novel experience for you?
I lived in an island where my family's from, and the Western Isles for a while. Yeah, I was on a farm when I stayed there.
That was Aaron.
Yeah, in a quiet community. Nothing compared to this. You always had more than 23 people about you.
Yeah,
but
and an influx of different people every day.
Yeah, because where I was, it's quite a touristy place. Always stopping, asking for directions and stuff. Cyclists now turning up there and then. Caravans, being stuck behind caravans. Yes, I don't really think of it that much. I'm kind of used to it. It's like a little family.
What is your best memory of this winter?
That's a good question. Probably off the top of my head, I'd say midwinter day. It did feel like Christmas.
So the 21st of June, that's our summer solstice.
The way we had decorations up in the canteen, the food was out of this world. It's amazing. It did really feel like Christmas back home.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had like a little like in a Secret Santa thing. We had to make gifts for people.
What did you make?
I made a hammock for a very chilled back field guide. So I thought a hammock sort of suits him. And it was out of cargo net that on his first job, retrieved from the field from a field drop. That'd be a bit sentimental.
Really sentimental.
Yeah.
And well received.
Yeah, I think he liked it. I don't know if he used it, but I think he liked it.
That's such a big hammock to put up. And yeah. You engraved a plaque onto the hammock.
Fortunate enough.
For a long lasting memory.
Yeah, fortunate enough I had everything at my fingertips to do to make a little brass plaque that I could polish up and engrave.
In your workshop, have you learned many new skills and got to use different equipment that you haven't before?
We've got a lathe in the garage. It's like you can turn metal on it, and it's the first time I've ever like seen one and used one.
Wow.
And it's a pretty cool bit of equipment. I'm quite hooked on it now.
Yeah? So who gives you training for that? Is that the mechanic?
Yeah, fortunate enough, the mechanic I work with very like clued up. He knows his stuff, and it was actually his first time using a lathe as well, but he's been in workshops when people have had them, and he's like kind of been shown, but he's never actually had a proper shot himself on it. It's a great wee thing.
And are there any key moments here that have changed your perspective of your outlook on the world or maybe more of a personal change?
Yeah, it's a bit of a... I never thought skiing was a thing, really. And then now I actually like skiing.
It's like part of like a weekend activity. It's like normal now, isn't it?
Yeah, people...
Like you'd go to the park or you just go skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People here say to me, oh, go skiing tomorrow. I was like, oh, I forgot that's the thing we can do here. Yeah, let's go skiing.
Yeah, and it takes like 10 minutes to get ready and then you're just out. Like, the ski slope is on your back door. Like, it's your back doorstep. It's like going into the garden.
Yeah, we're so fortunate the way here that we've got actual recreational activities that are quite easy to do. Like, for me, if I was staying in Glasgow, I can go... If I really wanted to go far, I can go like 2 hours and I can do anything.
Loch Lomond.
Yeah, I can go paddleboarding. I mean, that's something you can't do here, but... You know, similar outdoor activities. I've really inspired myself to do a lot more activities.
Yeah, so being here, you think actually has given you that inspiration to go further afield and be more active at home?
Yeah, definitely. Like climbing is something I would like to get more into when I get back.
We climbed together, I think, for the first time. Like, it was my first time that I'd ever been outside climbing. And then being exposed to it for the first time in the winter and having all this strange gear, like crampons and ice axes and climbing harnesses. Is it also your first, your first experience of climbing?
Oh, yeah. Like, proper climbing? Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of winter trips, so when you go out with the field guide for a week, what are you planning to do on your second round that's coming up quite soon, actually?
Definitely want to try and get a crevasse in.
A crevasse, yeah.
Yeah, as long as if I get one crevasse, then in Poway, I'll be climb. I'm more than happy. Last time we were out, managed to climb a new route that's never been climbed before. Obviously, got called a smooth operator.
You call it smooth operator? Excellent. Where was that? What
mountain was it? N26?
N26, yeah.
I remember
you saying it on when we called it in the evening.
Yeah.
On Skeds.
It was really, that was quite nice. Yeah. Leaving your wee footprint here.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's now in the book. The climb.
In the guidebook. Yeah. It's made it to the future routes. And Neil, like on back to station, you're quite a chef here. So you've done a lot of cook days and you did the first barbecue of this year. How was that? An outside barbecue in Antarctica. Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, as long as we're prepared for it, we're very well at it. Yeah, it was quite nice. Cold, very cold, and you had to eat it quickly before
it cooled down.
Yeah. So we were proper, basically burning things so people could actually eat it.
I'm sure that, like, Katie, the chef, loved that. Yeah, so to conclude, the last thing I want to ask you is, if you could repeat this experience, what would you change?
Oh. I actually don't know. Probably more climbs. It's really all I can really say. Quite happy with the experience I've had now.
But that's a great outlook to have, actually.
Yeah, no, I've been very positive through this. It's proper life-changing. A lot of skills that I'll go home with and hopefully still use. Yeah, it's been great here. I highly recommend anyone to have an interest to go for it. Prepare for, you know, being away from home for so long, missing friends and family. Sometimes you only miss them. You're so busy and so active with other things that you don't really think about home that much.
Yeah, I have the same, actually. Just being in this community is actually quite absorbing. There's always someone doing something. There's always an activity. You're sociable. Every meal is shared with loads of people.
Yeah, it's great. Out of this world, really.
Thanks, Neil. It's really nice talking to you.
Thank you. It's been nice talking to you too.
Neil loves Antarctica so much that he went down to do another summer season during the 2022-2023 season and is now wintering again at Rothera. If you think you'd enjoy the challenges of Neil's job or something similar, do check out the job section of the British Antarctic Survey's website. And if you enjoy the Ice World podcast, please tell people and think about writing a nice review. It really helps us spread the word about the podcast. I'm Nadia Frontier. And thanks for listening.